Thank you for tuning in to this week's Just Ball Things. If you're catching us on the podcast, remember to give us a rating and review. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on JBT, we'll be discussing Steph Curry's importance to the Warriors, whether Larry Nance Jr. has a case to be a starting forward, and whether Detroit should not have signed Blake Griffin. We'll be discussing whether Steven Adams is the best offensive rebounding center in the league as per fan request, and whether or not Tibbs was wrong to sign Derrick Rose. And in light of DeRozan and Love's comments on their struggles with mental health, we'll be ending with an off-topic of our own experiences. So shut up, sit down, because JBT is about to begin. Good morning, afternoon, or evening from wherever you're listening across the world. Welcome to Just Ball Things. With me today from the sunny London, England, we have the J-Man, Jack Manuel. How are you, mate?
Not so sunny, Nicholas. It is, there was 2 days of sun within the past, probably 10, and, you know, there was probably some snow in between there as well.
But it was still ridiculously cold, I would assume, even though the sun was out.
It has not been warm, but the nights are getting a bit, you know, the days, the sun's sat out for a little bit longer, so it's getting a bit better, but heading back to Melbourne soon. So soon you'll have to change that to with me today from Melbourne, Australia.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll be next to each other. I'll be touching you erotically, as I always do. I don't get that opportunity much, Jack. I need to make the most of it while I can. But how about this? We changed our intro so you can have your little spiel first. How nice!
Oh, it worked a lot more smoothly, and we still talked about nothing at all, and it was purposeless as it always is.
Oh, goddamn! Anyway, my name is Nick Busing. now it comes to me. I've been speaking the whole time, and no one knows who the hell I am. Anyway, my name is Nick Busing.
There we go.
Mate, I'm going to drop some truth bombs on you right now. I was watching a documentary yesterday. I have been over the past week. Did you know that the sensation of touch, that like nothing actually touches anything else?
So what is it, Nick? What's the science behind it, Mr. Scientist?
So when you touch things, the feeling of touch, like if you zoomed in between the two things being touched, to a microscopic level, to an atomic level, there would be a gap. There would be...
Well,
the electrons, you know, everyone knows atoms are made out of protons, neurons, and electrons. Electrons spin around the atom, and those have a negative charge. It's like when you try and force two magnets together, they repel each other. So that force is actually magnetism. The two things are repelling each other.
Magnets, Nicholas. You're dropping... I wonder how many people have already stopped listening to us on the basis of that.
Like, what the hell? This guy's talking science?
We're not dropping just ball knowledge here on you, ladies and gentlemen. We are dropping truth bombs. Nick's going to... You know, I'm a teacher myself, but I don't think I've ever been more bored by 2 minutes of conversation. I would have walked out of your lecture right then, mate. I'm still a little bit intrigued. I feel like...
I thought that was so interesting. You never actually touch things. I thought that was amazing. I told my parents, and they're just like, "You're talking shit, Nick. You're a fucking liar."
Well, let's talk some more shit, but let's talk about basketball as well.
All right, beautiful. As always, we'll start off here with the Busing Manuel scale. For those of you who are new, it's a JBT-created scale. It sums up how likely things are to happen in the NBA. From alternative fact, Twitter fact, Wikipedia fact, or just straight up fact. But mate,
yes,
I have an announcement to make. I'm going to play a little bit of a drum roll. Drum roll, hold on. We had an email.
Wow.
Someone actually contacted us.
Holy crap,
it's been like 50 episodes. And someone's done it that isn't like
granted,
a close friend or family member.
Exactly. Granted, this email came in last week. We should have mentioned it on last week's show, but That's fine. We're getting to it now. We appreciate your love. All right. The email reads, yes. Hey guys, my name is Fahad. I am a Qatari OKC Thunder fan, and I have been watching Steven Adams play this season. I believe that he is the best offensive rebounder in the NBA this season. What do you guys think? Thanks, and keep up the good work. Thanks there, Fahad, for your lovely email.
Blessings.
Now, mate, the Busick-Manuel scale coming out of this one is yep. Steven Adams the best offensive rebounding center in the league?
Look, I'm going to play to pander a little bit to Fahad here, and thank you again, Fahad, for your email. I'm going to say it's a fact. Steven Adams, now, the numbers don't necessarily back it up, but they almost do. So if you go to NBA.com/stats, you look up offensive rebounding sort of rate and the player tracking. He's second overall in total rebounding when it comes to offensive rebounds. So he averages 5 offensive rebounds a game, just 0.2 under Andre Drummond. Both of them have a very good contested offensive rebound rate. So most of Steven Adams actually are coming contested. 71.1% of his contested offensive rebounds. And Andre Drummond's is a little bit lower than that. So it depends on what you value. Now, we know Steven Adams is a big brute force down there, and his physicality is one of his main sort of weapons. But one thing that I've seen in video, and just by watching the Oklahoma City Thunder, he's also very crafty in the way that he gets his offensive rebounds. So I'm sure you've probably seen this, Nick, because your brother's a big OKC Thunder fan. But he has this one move where he sort of slips under his main opponent, whether it's the other center or power forward, or if he's on the free throw line. You know, he doesn't just go straight at it with brute force. He sort of slips under sneakily and gets, you know, the best positioning. And, you know, he's sort of, it's been his bread and butter this season. And it's been one of the, you know, key reasons why, you know, he's probably been one of the more consistent players for the Oklahoma City Thunder, because he has his one sort of skill and he does it well. So, Fahad, to answer your question, Steven Adams is a straight up absolute baller when it comes to the offensive rebounds. And I'm going to give this a fact. Andre Drummond, Detroit Pistons fans might have something to say about it, but I think Andre Drummond's all-round game has improved. He's always been a great rebounder, but I think Steven Adams' offensive rebounding rate and what it does for his team really is hugely impactful. What do you think, Nick?
Well, I have to agree with you there, mate. Not with the fact. I'm going to give this one a Wikipedia fact, because it is undoubtedly an amazing offensive rebounder, and the stats do prove it. He is second, I believe, in offensive rebounds. Yeah. You said second? Behind Andre Drummond, he's in the company of Clint Capella and DeAndre Jordan as well. Some amazing rebounders there. If I'm putting Steven Adams and Andre Drummond together and they have to fight for an offensive rebound, I'm probably taking DeAndre Jordan. But you're right. Steven Adams is a very, very crafty center. He's very crafty in getting his rebounds. He's like Enes Kanter. Not exactly the tallest center in the world, but he gets so many offensive rebounds from sheer effort, and he just knows how to get them. You know, his positioning is brilliant. I think Steven Adams has a bit of an increase in status playing with Russell Westbrook, who also will be fighting for offensive rebounds. Who's fighting Andre Drummond for his offensive rebounds? Absolutely no one.
Yeah, no one. Yeah, but that's why I think Nick,
while he's on the court, it strengthens Adams' defense. It definitely does. But I still believe that you put, like, I'm just thinking as this on one on one. If they're matched up together, I'm taking Andre Drummond every time.
See, I agree with you somewhat because of the athleticism of DeAndre Jordan. You know, Clint Capella, you mentioned there as well. Both of those sort of young guys have, well, not DeAndre Young, you know, he's coming up for his max contract in the offseason, but they've both got great hops. Whereas Steven Adams, as we mentioned before, he's maneuvering under the basket. And I think offensive rebounding isn't necessarily like, you know, having that leap about you. You know, for putback dunks, yes, it would be. And I think, you know, if you go into the putback dunk sort of stats, I'm sure there's something out there for it. You know, DeAndre Jordan would certainly be up there, you know, Clint Capella certainly would as well. But Steven Adams, I think, is just getting rebounds because he reads his teammates well. He knows his teammates' shots. Now, that's not to say, you know, Andre Drummond isn't, because he obviously clearly is. And, you know, it's almost the the entire offensive scheme is almost catered around him, whereas Steven Adams is doing the one thing fantastically well. And I'm going to take your point that you made about the fact that, you know, he's playing alongside guys like Russell Westbrook, Carmelo Anthony, Paul George. You know, those numbers could be even more increased if he didn't have those teammates around him. You know, we know his defensive rebounding rate is you know, obviously less, which is a huge anomaly. But that's because, obviously, you know, his boxing out stats, he's the number one boxing out player in the NBA. So if he, you know, takes those box outs away and goes for rebounds, you know, that becomes a whole nother stat. You know, he's one of the best, not just offensive rebounders in the game, Farhad, and all our listeners, but one of the best offensive rebounders, and one of the best defensive and offensive rebounders in the game today. But
just
I take the point for what it is, Nick.
Yeah, well, it's the increase as well. Just this would more or less be my final point. His increase in offensive rebounds has shot up this year, and that's why I think it's so noticeable. Gone from 3.5 a game, averaging about 3 over his career, to going smack into 5 a game. And 5 offensive rebounds a game is insane. Huge. It is massive.
Massive.
Andre Drummond has been doing it pretty much 5 for the past 4 or 5 years. We take it for granted. He also averages about 10 defensive rebounds. Whereas Adams tends to give him off to, say, a Russell Westbrook.
Triple-double.
There was actually a video that emerged this week. He palmed down a defensive rebound to Russ,
and it went
out of bounds. You got a stat. There we are. All right, beautiful stuff. Thanks for the email, Fahad. If you want to get in contact with us, jbtpodcast@gmail.com, and we will discuss your emails on the show as well. Beautiful
Do
stuff
it.
There.
Dale.
All right, next one here. Raptors Rockets would be a more entertaining final series than Cavs Warriors. Jack. I can't get around this. I want the four-peat, mate. It was the fourth time. Yeah. Oh man, I want Cavs to be in there for starters. Mate, and if it's Cavs Rockets, imagine if it's Cavs Rockets, and That'd LeBron right. loses.
Yeah.
How much of a hit? No, well, not so much that. How much of a hit will that take to his legacy? Because he's like, okay, you can't beat the Warriors, but you also can't beat the Rockets.
Yeah,
ooh,
but
I think that's dangerous.
But then you could say the same thing about it impacts the Golden State Warriors' legacy, that they couldn't even beat the Houston Rockets, and they're supposed to have one of the best teams of all time, and they do.
They've still won 2 rings together.
Yeah, but winning 2 out of 4 for having one of the best teams ever, it almost harks back to the days of Shaq and Kobe, where those guys could have won 5 when they got, in place 4 all-stars.
But history won't remember it as 2 out of 4, because everyone remembers Jordan 6 of... He's 6 of 6. Well, no, he's not. He lost 3 times in the first round. So... Anyway, we're not getting into that debate.
But I think you look at it both ways, and it's because, you know, name the Rocky IV. I don't even remember who fought in that.
Well, I think Rocky fought in that. Like, he might have.
Yeah, but Rocky 4 plus Adrian plus Rocky 3 is Adrian's Revenge, as Bart
Adrian's Revenge.
Said. But it's Adrian's Revenge. But like Raptors Rockets, we saw the other night the hard fought sort of contest. You know, the James Harden going down the stretch, you know, Drake spitting shit on the sidelines as he always does, which was it was really entertaining. And you know, it's almost like there's been this fatigue, there's this LeBron fatigue, And I must admit, I'm experiencing it a little bit myself. I like the storylines of these guys coming out of nowhere, the Boston Celtics, who for me are sort of flailing a little bit. But the Raptors and Rockets, I'm all in on them. I'm not necessarily going to buy into the fact that they're definitely going to be there and I'll put my house on it. But I think it would be more entertaining, so I'm going to give it a wiki. But at the same time, yeah, Cavs Warriors, if it's an entertaining series, but I don't want to see five games, you know, almost a gentleman's sweep like last year.
Yeah.
Whereas Raptors Rockets, we saw that could go six or seven quite easily. You know, we want an entertaining playoff series.
Yeah, but you watch the Raptors falter before they even hit the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm calling it now. It is 15 minutes and 20 seconds into episode 2.20. And I'm calling it now. They will not make the Eastern Conference Finals because they're the Raptors.
Where's
history
that?
Is right. against them so hard, and I'm a big believer in that. Like,
right, if you're,
it's going to be really hard to break that sort of that bogey mentality. It's like, oh, we're in the playoffs. The collie.
Yeah, but look, at the same time, history is made to be rewritten, my friend. And I hope that we have all of our Canadian listeners hitting us up on the email at JBTNickersNicholas. Add him on Twitter as much as you want. But, Nick, so you're giving this just an alternative fact? Are you giving him any credence at all before we move on?
I'll give it a Twitter because I think that series is guaranteed to go at least six.
Yeah, and that'll be fun.
Warriors, yeah, if Cavs are having an off night, Warriors can just absolutely ruin them. But I've got faith in the Cavs that they don't do what they did last year.
We shall wait and see, my friend. Mm-hmm. We shall wait and see. But moving on, Stephen Curry has been experiencing some unfortunateness in terms of his injuries. The hopes of winning back-to-back championships for the Golden State Warriors rely solely on the health of star Stephen Curry's ankles. Now, for a bit of background, Anthony Slater earlier in the week posted out his recent history in terms of this year, this season. So December 4th, he had his bad sprain in New Orleans. So he came back, you know, was okay. But then January 10th, he had a minor re-sprain of the same ankle working out at a shootaround. March 2, he had another minor sprain, again, on the infamous Zaza, injuring his own teammates, as he always does. And then, I mean, 6 days later, earlier this week, he had a sprain, which I believe he's coming back for, that happened against the Spurs, but I believe he's coming back for after the road trip. So I think that one's not that bad. But, you know, Steph's ankle history has been, you know, before, you know, we saw this outburst from him in 2015-16, where he had that unanimous MVP year.
Mm.
And that was sort of what was forcing him from, you know, reaching his superstar status. And it's always going to be a lingering issue because I think the word is recidivist. Recidivist is where you do something again, it's going to happen again. Because it's going to be more likely to happen again because the higher likelihood of injury is that you've done it in the first place. So if you've done an ACL a la D. Rose and you've done it once, you can do it twice. You can do it three times. You can do it four times
because
it's done in the first place. If you get injured, you know, if you don't have, you know, a history of knee, ankle, shoulder issues, then that means it's going to be a lot less likely that you do it a second time. So for me, I think this is a fact. It may be wiki fact because there's certainly a chance that they could win it without Steph. But we saw in the finals against the Cleveland Cavaliers how Murray can lead to some troubling issues for Golden State. Golden State at their peak rely on Steph Curry. We talked about that on past podcasts. Mm-hmm. We argued about it. For me, Steph Curry is the nucleus for this Golden State team to be the be-all and end-all, this historic team that we know they are and they can be. But they can still do it because they've got Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. So
yeah.
I mean, this is a wiki straight fact. It's hard to sort of discern between the two. What do you got for me, Nicky boy?
I'm going to give this one a Wikipedia fact because there's undoubtedly he is so important to this team. It's quite concerning that he keeps tweaking these ankles, which was the whole reason the Warriors didn't sign him to this massive deal initially before his breakout. It's like, hey, this guy's injury prone. He keeps doing this. They were able to get that reduction in his deal and then bang, became the best player in the world.
Yep.
So, worked out fantastically for Golden State. But something like that, that lingering injury will be a problem. You saw how much of a hit that one player in the Cavs 3-1 comeback, the impact that one player can make on a final series. Not only you don't have that player, but it's a mentality swing as well. And that is huge. If you give your opponent a sniff of hope, then you know, that can play against the Warriors drastically. Look at last year. I mean, the Warriors did not give them a sniff, and it was 4-1.
Yeah, it was absolutely.
Yeah, it was a disappointing playoffs last season.
It was, but not for Golden State.
But not for Golden State, yeah. not Golden State fans, you couldn't have asked for a better one.
There's plenty of them out there, absolutely. But before we move on, this has been his right ankle each time as well. So that for me is the worrying thing. You know, I don't know what's worse. I believe, you know, injuring the same ankle over and over is worse because you obviously lose the strength in it.
Yeah.
And whether he has to tape it or wear a brace, you know, you can't get that full mobility back again. You know, everyone who's played basketball, whether it's like us or whether it's, you know, NBA players or wherever you are, has had some sort of an ankle sprain before.
Yeah.
Anyone who's played sport or has gone for a run has basically had an ankle sprain before. It's just the severity of it and, you know, how likely it is to happen again. So for Steph, definitely watch this space. We certainly will at JBT. But Nick, a guy who has been anything but injury prone in these past few games and has been absolutely balling out for the Cavs, Larry Nance Jr., the recent acquisition by the Cleveland Cavaliers, needs to be a permanent starter for the Cavs going forward after his earlier start following the injury to Tristan Thompson. Nick, what do you got for me? You reckon Nance continues to start for this Cleveland team?
Yeah. Hashtag fact.
Yeah,
just,
I agree.
Inject some young blood. He's athletic. He's energetic. There seems to be no chemistry issues. Like,
not at all.
Like Lob City in Cleveland now. And I know I mentioned it already, but like, it can't be overstated how athletic he is. He is crazy. You see absolutely monster, monster dunks. Just in game. He's maybe not a showman like the dunk contest. That being said, he still pulled off some nice ones. But his in-game dunks are the best in the NBA. Don't at me.
Yeah.
In the NBA.
Don't at me either, because I was, and for those that don't know, check back on JBT's timeline back to around this time last year. I was at a Lakers-Nets game, and I saw it firsthand. Larry Nance pretty much forced Brook Lopez to get traded to Los Angeles because of that dunk. It was one of the greatest moments of my life. It was awesome. And I agree with you, Nick, because of the chemistry that it gives him and LeBron James, the vertical spacing. You know, he mentioned the fact that, you know, DeAndre Jordan would have been a nice fit for him. I think I like Larry Nance just as much because of his potential upside. You know, he's got an okay jumper, which is developing, and he just provides great energy and especially transition where the Cleveland Cavaliers can get some easy buckets. You know, he's a one-man wrecking ball. You know, you don't want to get in his way. He's not necessarily the greatest defender, the greatest, you know, sort of rim protector, but he's capable enough and he's switchy enough. And I think, you know, if you bring back Kevin Love as he's set to be in the coming weeks, who, and we'll speak about him later on, he's had an impactful week himself. But putting him at the number at the four rather than at the five, I think it's capable and I think it spaces the floor nicely. And I like that fit. Tristan Thompson has had his injury issues, but it's going to be interesting whether when he comes back eventually, when he's healthy, whether he supplants, you know, Larry Nance in the starting lineup. I think it has to be a sort of not necessarily a one size fits all. Just go with whoever sort of is the form sort of guy and what the matchups dictate. Because right now they've got a really nice piece, and you know you want to make the most of what you've got. So I think I agree with you, Nick. Hashtag fact all the way.
Yeah. I do take note on his developing jumper. I put that in air quotes for those of you who can't see me, which is...
They can't see you, Nick.
Which is all of you.
Yeah, we're doing an audio related program.
Exactly. So air quotes there, because it's not good. It's not passable. It's just bad.
It's better than Tristan Thompson. Though.
Okay. That's fair. That is a good point. That is a very good point. What I will say about Larry Nance Jr. is, again, what I mentioned before with the whole mentality thing, when you see him go up for oops, for absolute killer jams, it sends, one, a message to your opposition. It's like, hey, you can't stop me. And two, how much does it hype up your other teammates seeing crap like that? Adding that youth,
and the crowd.
The crowd, you get the massive crowd on your side. it is so much better than just the 2 points that you get, or the and one. You know, I go crazy yeah. for and ones, but it's all about that mental game.
Yeah.
And yeah, that is cannot be understated. All right, next one here. Don't know where you grabbed this one from, mate, because don't know why we're discussing it. Brandon Ingram will have a better career than Ben Simmons. Hashtag alternative fact. There is no way. Get it out of here.
We'll move on.
No, like, hold on. You put it in here for a reason. I want to hear your reasoning, mate.
All right, I did. And I also brought this up on the last NBA outlet on OTG that I was on. Make sure you subscribe to that one. Check it out on Dash Radio too. This is by Kevin O'Connor, and I got it from him by his tweet. So he was at the Sloan Sports Conference. He also wrote an article comparing sort of draft guys from, you know, sort of 16, 17, you know, sort of comparing their career arches, so to speak. Now, just because this has been really hot taking, you know, number one pick, number two pick, you know, Ben Simmons is, you know, the standout favorite for Rookie of the Year, but he's certainly the favorite right now. He's not running away with it. Donovan Mitchell's been up and down, you know, the last sort of couple of weeks, whereas, you know, Simmons has been a little bit more consistent. The only reason I say this is because Brandon Ingram has been a big part of this sort of Lakers late season run. His improvement would almost put him in the conversation for the most improved player of the year. That'd be stupid because he's a second year player, so I don't buy into that. But in terms of his overall game and his skill set, it has increased. Gotten better. He's quite good at the catch and shoot threes now. He's still not a knockdown shooter, and he should never be compared to Kevin Durant ever again. He is an improved playmaker. I think that's one thing which I've liked about him, having the ball in his hands when sort of Lonzo Ball's been out, and he sort of had to facilitate and run the floor a little bit. You know, he's looked capable. His defense, I think Ben Simmons has been underrated in that aspect.
Oh, incredibly so. His defense is incredible.
And I say that because Simmons has an ability to switch between 1 through 5, and his engagement on that end, I think going into the playoffs, it's going to be a real asset. Now, Brandon Ingram's no scrub there himself, but I don't think he has the defensive ceiling of a Ben Simmons in terms of his switchability, I think. And also just the physical presence that Ben Simmons has out there. He's, you know, they're around the same age. I think Brandon Ingram's actually a year younger. But, you know, Ben Simmons already has filled out, and he has, I mean, if he can get any bigger, deal, Lord, watch out for that. So I'm going to give this, you know, a minor Twitter fact. Like, this is a Twitter fact from, like, you know, a leftist like Derek Rose stan who, like, wears the Make America Great Again hat and, like, you know, subscribes to the NRA on NRA TV. Like, it's very, very, very minor, Nick, but there's something there because, you know, Ben Simmons right now doesn't have a jumper. And will he get one?
That's fair.
Yeah, probably.
He will.
But there's just an element of skepticism from me, and I think I may have to eat my words, and I'll happily eat them because, you know, it's only very, very minor. And Ben Simmons, it was almost an all-star this year, so I think enough is said in that. But I think there's minor validity towards the take. That's all.
I mean, if you're looking just at, like, there's been a lot of criticism on Brandon Ingram over the past 2 years, and be like, where is this guy going? You know, he started the year very poorly, I believe, and then just shot up. And everyone's just like, yeah. Oh, okay, well, there he is. And he's been out for the past week or so, I think, with an injury. But you can't do it, mate. You can't say that at this stage, what we've seen so far, that Ben Simmons will have a lesser career than Brandon Ingram. It's just not going to happen. Ben Simmons, in his rookie year, is not just a good defender. He is an elite defender. He is incredible. His ability to switch. He is elite. He is. You look at his numbers, mate. His defensive rating is incredible. A lot of that could be because of Embiid as well. But I'm not the only person saying this. Ben Simmons is a fantastic defender in his first season. He's already elite at something. And granted, the jumper's. It's more the fact that we don't really have a sample size. Especially, he's taken like 10 threes this year. not great. He's missed them all. But
they're all heaps.
Yes, they are all heaps. You look at him on the on the practice court. His jumper looks smooth. He's making them. He's got no problem with hitting a three. He just doesn't do it. He didn't do it in college. He wasn't a field goal master in college either. He knew what his strengths were, and the coach knew that as well. And NCAA don't actually work on developing players. That's just one of their many drawbacks.
Many.
I'm sure if he had a proper development program, he may have gotten more confidence in his jumper. I'm going to give him 2 seasons, which is, I think he can do it next season. I think over the off season, he'll be working on his jumper, and you'll see him hitting at least 50% on twos for his jumpers.
In terms of jumpers, I think.
And he'll actually hit at least one, so I'll give him that. He'll hit at least 1 3, which is, again, very generous, but he will. I have every faith in the world. Anyway, moving on. Now, Jack, Detroit.
Nick.
Should not have traded Blake Griffin, and Stan Van Gundy, the Jumanji, should be fired.
Jumanji!
You know who I'm talking about. Stan Van Jumanji.
SVG.
SVJ.
Nick, I agree with you, mate. I reckon...
Ooh, bang. Hashtag fact.
This is a fact.
Ooh. Fact.
The Blake Griffin part.
Okay.
Part about Stan Van Gundy is bordering on a fact. So, for those that haven't seen Zach Lowe's article earlier in the week in his 10 things piece. So, this is why Zach... Detroit is 6-10 since acquiring Griffin, and every one of those wins, including Griffin's first 4 games, came at home against the night of second end of a back-to-back. The Pistons are hemorrhaging 3 points on defense and points scored per possession since the trade. 5 at a worse rate are tanking and trying to lose. That is damning, and they are hemorrhaging now, and they're in just like, they have no cap compared to like your Wizards. Like, your Wizards have like all flexibility in the world compared to these Detroit Pistons. An element of it, I think there's an element of it there. His coaching has been better than his front office work. Modern is maybe just a pure coach and get like sort of what they did with Doc Rivers. So yeah, I'm giving half of it.
Because this is more or less a two-pronged one, I guess.
Yes.
Detroit shouldn't have traded Blake Griffin. I think they still should have. Despite the record, it was more of a business move. So Blake Griffin's great for business. They were trying to fill seats in that arena. It's not happening.
I know, but he sells tickets.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, cue cheesy smile. But I think it's just, I don't know, what will it take? What will it take to fill those seats in Detroit? And if it's nothing, then Detroit need to get rid of the Detroit franchise.
Like, ooh, that's a hot take, Nick. I like it.
Well, Seattle. At the end of the day, the NBA is a business. If they spent all this money on a new arena, they're not getting fans in the seats. If they're not becoming a profitable organization, they will be moved.
Seattle Pistons.
Seattle.
Put it out there.
Exactly. Seattle's a great market. I'm sure they'd kill for another NBA team. And one with Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond. Why not? Throw Reggie Jackson in there as well. It's like, we'll take them all.
I like it. But a team...
But yeah, I'm giving this one. I'll give this one a Twitter fact.
We just made indiscernible noises there that I understood what Nick was making.
I had a minor stroke. It's all right.
Only I can understand it. We have our own language, the JBT language. We'll get a dictionary for you guys. The Spurs, Nicholas, won't make the playoffs this season. Yes, no. Give me a quick one.
Oh, this one's tough. Like, when should you bet against the Spurs? I'll answer that for you. Never.
In the last 20 years, never, yes.
Exactly. But they're not They're not just not looking good. The Spurs are not the Spurs. They started so well, and when they were on track to win, to have 50 wins with Kawhi out and LaMarcus Aldridge was absolutely like all-star LaMarcus Aldridge. We were like, how does he do it? I think we're seeing the Achilles heel of the Spurs a little bit. Will they make the playoffs? Yes, I can't really bet against them, but the Thunder have had a recent surge, and I think they're fifth now.
They are, yeah.
Yeah, they're absolutely balling. But I'm going to give this a... What was the question? Hashtag Twitter fact. Twitter fact.
Twitter, yeah.
There's something there, but I can't bet against the Spurs. Not fully.
Yep, I agree. Twitter or a wiki for me. I'll just give you some numbers for you guys to leave on. They have a 58% chance of making the playoffs, according to 538, their predictions. I think early in the week that was actually at a little bit over 60, so that's gone down since then. And they're projected to finish 7th, just ahead of the Utah Jazz in the Western Conference, with Denver Nuggets dropping out and also the Los Angeles Clippers not making it as well. So they're teetering on the edge there, Nicholas, and it's getting lower and lower. So definitely keep an eye on this space. And if you didn't, you know, you might have heard it here first from us at JBT that they will not make the playoffs. But a guy who's playing literally right now, Nicholas, is Derrick Rose, recently signed by, have we gone back to 2011? Tom Thibodeau picked up, he's completed the Minnesota Timberwolves with Derrick Rose signing till the end of the season. Was it the wrong decision? Tibbs was wrong to sign Derrick Rose. I'm going to give you mine. Hashtag fact. Simple as that. I don't need to really explain it because Tyus Jones is better than him in every other way, and they need a wing, and they've gone out and got an injury-prone guard who can get some buckets, but completely is null and void alongside of Jimmy Butler and the rest of their squad. So, hashtag fact.
I'm looking at this from a more empathetic view, which is odd for me.
Come on, Nick.
I'm usually a cold-hearted man.
Cynical man.
Exactly. But he's throwing him a lifeline. Absolutely.
He is.
I love that. He wants him to do well. It's like, hey, we'll bring you here. We'll do you a favor. If you can produce for us, we'll give you some minutes. He might play alongside Tyus Jones, so there might not be... Tibbs is playing 8 guys. Why can't he start playing 9 guys? You know?
Funnily enough, they were actually playing, and earlier in the night, I was watching a little bit of it and watching and following on Twitter. They were playing a lineup that which included Jamal Crawford, Tyus Jones, and Derrick Rose. That is a horrific lineup.
That is very small. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And they were getting absolutely destroyed by the Golden State Warriors. And
it's the Warriors though. But say he gets a little snapshot under Tibbs with Butler there. Butler's not playing, but like he's there. Some maybe familiar faces. He can find some form, and then at the end of this year, he goes and signs with
in China.
Exactly, so signs with something else. It's just something to get his confidence up, and I'm all for that. Whether it helps the T-Wolves' chances in the playoffs, no, it doesn't. Yeah. It may in fact hinder it, like you said. But I'm looking at this as a guy who's had great mental problems. He's had a decline in mental health. He's almost down and out from the NBA, and this is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, downfall story in NBA's history. You know, to incur this injury after an MVP season and just the fall off that he's had is incredible. So I'm all for him. I'm hashtag alternative fact. He was not wrong to sign Derrick Rose because it was a massive favor to him. Whether it helps the T-Wolves is another question, and it doesn't.
I'll leave it with Derrick Rose, and these comments were made, I believe, today or earlier today. This is how I feel about the whole perspective on it. You can have your perspective on me as far as I'm a bum, I can't play, I can't shoot, this and that. All right, cool. No hard feelings with that. I'm cool, Phil. That's how you feel. But at the same time, I don't need your effing up validation. I know who I am. I know the type of player I am. So you respect that, and I respect that, and we should be good. That's how I feel about it. After the break, JB Team of the Week.
Thank you for listening to Just Ball Things. You can catch our podcast on iTunes and Blog Talk Radio. Welcome back to Just Ball Things. If you're catching us on the podcast, or even if you're not, head over on iTunes, give us a rating and review. We really appreciate that. Helps us out heaps. So let's just get straight into it. JB Team of the Week. JB Team of the Week. Yes, welcome to JB Team of the Week. For those of you who are new, this is where we recognise the players that have been outstanding in their position over the week just gone. Mate, do you want to take... I'll let you take JB Team of the Week. I took it last week. Share the
love. I shall. Nicholas, we do on this podcast. At the point guard position, Damian Lillard stepped up with a 19-point fourth quarter performance against the Lakers to carry Portland to a thrilling victory there. Devin Straight at the time. He finished with 39 points, 6 of 11 from 3, 5 rebounds and 6 assists. He has now crossed the 30-point threshold 3 times since the All-Star break. Oof. I think that number has increased since now. He has elevated himself into the MVP conversation, many have been saying. At the shooting guard position, in a hard-fought win over the Pistons, it was DeMar DeRozan, including that absolutely clutch and one dunk, who led the Raps to a W. DeMar DeRozan is DeMar DeBallin. He posted 42 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists. His passing game has really grown leaps and bounds this season also. At the small forward position, the Cavs back on, thanks to, you know who, LeBron, who posted 31 points, 11 of 17 from the field, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, and a steal in only 29 minutes of court time. Nice rest of sorts for the King. He was also outstanding in the Cleveland's important win over Denver, racking up 39 points, 8 rebounds, 10 assists, and a steal. Taken out by Giannis Antetokounmpo, who spearheaded Milwaukee's multiple comebacks in a victory over the 76ers. The two-time All-Star stuffed the stat sheet with 35 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, and a block. And of course, at the center position, Brad Anthony Davis took control in the second half, scoring 31 of his 41 total points to fuel the Pelicans to their ninth. He finished with a line of 41 points, 13 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, and 3 blocks. My Lord, what
he's
a JB
just
team
continuing.
Of the week
he's just continuing. Well, he was until he got injured. Just continuing that streak. Is he back now? Oh, that's all right.
Stunning.
He's amazing. We got some brilliant, brilliant names in there. Like DeRozan, that dunk, and Lillard in Blazers a third. Like that's crazy. 60%. They're at a 60% win rate. Oh, absolutely nuts.
Old.
All right, let's get straight back into it, mate, with some Rookie Watch.
Put it down, young fella.
Best all-around rookie ever.
The best rookie we've ever seen.
Lesson one, rookie, expect the unexpected.
Yeah, for those of you who are new, this is where we award 1, 2, or 3 votes to the rookies based on their weekly performances. All right, taking out the one vote. Despite a loss to the Nuggets, Lonzo Ball filled up the stat sheet with 15 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists, and 4 steals. Very nice from Lonzo there. Taking the 2 points, we've got Dennis Smith Jr. He scored 18 points and added 11 assists and 5 rebounds in a surprising win over the Nuggets. Nuggets are getting pounded today. Nice double-double there from the Rook. And the 3 votes goes to none other than the Australian Dynamite himself, Ben Simmons. He tallied 16 points, 13 rebounds, and 13 assists, and 8 rebounds effortlessly over the Charlotte Hornets. Brilliant stuff there from the rookies. It's going to be weird next season when the rookie class is not this strong and we do Rookie Watch and be like, oh yeah, 3 votes goes to 6 points and 5 rebounds.
Ugh. I know, it'll be just like, it'll be DeAndre Ayton, Luka Doncic, and that's pretty much it.
Markel Fultz is technically... Is he a rookie? He played some NBA games. Does he still count for Rookie Watch next
play
season?
Play a few games. He does, but you know, maybe Harry Giles of the Suns or someone. So it's been a fun watch this year. Enjoyed some piling up, and we've got a tight race still coming between Ben Simmons and Donovan Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely keep an eye on that. But we've got a real hashtag real talk for off topic. Nick, play that music for me, white boy.
Really, really, really real off topic.
How about we play the basketball?
What the heck are you talking about?
Now the question is, pants or shorts?
Sandwiches, toasted or fresh?
He just sits on people.
That is complete shit.
What? 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 What?
What? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Off topic.
Off topic.
Off topic.
Off topic.
Yes, this week's off topic is a relatively on topic. But it's always got some sort of basketball theme to it, I guess. DeMar DeRozan came out a few weeks ago now, revealing his battle with anxiety and depression. And Kevin Love had an enlightening piece on the Players Tribune that we highly recommend that you read. It's a brilliant read. So we at JBT wanted to join him and open up on our own sort of struggles. Everyone's got their real struggles that they deal with in real life. And it's always good to talk about those, to vent. If you want to email us with your problems, I don't know. Like, we're not therapists, but we'll listen. And I promise we won't read them on the show. We won't read those. We won't read those ones on the show. But if you want to vent to us, that's fine. If you don't, then that's fine. We recommend going to a therapist if you do.
JBT.
Someone who can help.
We're a family. We recommend... you need in terms through such. I was one for this in the past 12 to 18 months. I've gone through my sort of issues that are similar to Kevin Love in terms of anxiety and depression, where I had to, you know, get a bit of therapy, get on some antidepressants and stuff. So for me, the big part of this is that it's down in a way that's really of young men and women, and for anyone for that matter, because these famous superstars out there, you know, both of these guys are absolute masters at their field. They essentially have the life, in air quotation marks, to quote Nicholas. They're basketballers, they're making millions of dollars, you know, they've got the you know, the great friends, they're living the life essentially. But as Kevin Love said, and DeMar DeRozan said, everyone has their own issues. Everyone has their own issues, and you don't know what's happening behind closed doors. So in terms of what made it real for me is that, you know, it was able to break the barriers down in terms of toxic masculinity. So one thing that really stuck out to me about Kevin Love was the fact that he said that he saw it as a weakness. And for me, that was early on one thing that I saw, especially about it going through my sort of, you know, struggles during that stage, is that because, for me, I said this regularly, because it makes you feel so weak, you can't help but associate it with that feeling of it's a weakness. So I shouldn't be saying it. I shouldn't be communicating about it. So I just, you know, deal with it myself, you know. So why would I burden that on someone else and make them, you know, possibly feel the same way as I do? So it's for me, the way that the NBA is heading. And I think I also shout out to, I believe it's Royce White, who a couple of years ago advocated for a mental health scheme within the NBA, which I think is in the process of being done and should have been done long, long time ago, because this is a real issue, especially with men. I think over here in London, 60% of men will deal around my age. I think the ages of 18 to 29 will have some sort of, you know, mental health breakdown. And then, you know, there's another percentage, a high percentage of them will commit suicide and lose their lives, which for me is a needless issue. I've been in that stage where you feel like it's the easiest option, and it's hard to reflect back on it and go, wow, how was I that low? But if you know that it's not a weakness and it is a strength, and that however you communicated about it, whether it's with your loved ones, your family, your friends, a health professional, your friends, whoever, it, just find someone, because there will be someone there. There's always one person willing to listen, always. Just know that, whether it's, you know, me or Nick, there's always going to be someone there that can help, because as much as the world is in such a shitty state as it is, the care for one another, I think, still remains, you know. Doesn't matter what creed, what background, what beliefs we have, the the want for each other to just feel okay and be happy remains. And I think that's going to be a key thing. And I think that's a part of the reason why, you know, JBT's been a huge support for me over that time as well. So, you know, I'm not sure, you know, what everyone else is going through, but know that, you know, us at JBT will vouch for whatever help you need, what you want to get, and just know that, you know, and they always will be. Just know that it's you're never alone. You're never alone.
Yeah, it's really good in the fact that these personalities are coming out and saying, hey, you know, we've been there. You know, you forget that these people are people at the end of the day.
Yeah.
People doing a job. You know, they're working every day of their lives just like everyone else, whether your profession's a professional basketballer or, you know, a laborer or to a chef, to anything, you know. You're going to experience some sort of lows. Some people are more equipped to deal with that. And it's not a shortcoming if you're not. It's just how you're built, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think the stigma for therapy as well is getting squashed, which I love. It's not seen as the problem that it once was. I know I've got a few friends who have gone. You, for example, I've got a few others. I've personally never been. I've never felt the need, but I think I've got a fairly good understanding of my own mental health. I mean, I could be completely wrong. I feel that I've got a good stead on where I am. But if you are feeling, you know, lost, helpless, there's nothing wrong with it. Like, anyone who, if you think that, you know, people are going to judge you for going to therapy or sorting out your problems, it's not so much of a, it's not so much of a weakness, it's more of a strength. It's like when I liken it to the same things as like addicts, you know, your first problem is to confront, your first step is to confront it, you know? And this would be the same thing as mental health. Like it's the hardest step. You confront your problems and say, hey, I've got something here. I need to do something about it. And to have the strength of character to go do something about it is admirable. It is. I think it's great that these people have come out, Kevin Love, like role models have come out and said, hey, we're not invincible. We are vulnerable just like you. Our lifestyle isn't perfect. Like, and no one's is, you know. You see the glamorous lifestyle that they lead, but there's always there could be something completely underlying that. I mean, you look at Derrick Rose and something that like those, he's taken hit after hit of he's taken these mental blows, and it's just amazing that he's still playing basketball. To be frank, I can't remember what I was gonna say. I mean, the moral of this story. Moral, I guess, is like what you said, just to reiterate, there's always help there. There are people who can relate. I mean, I went through a brief period of anxiety myself, but it was more self-inflicted. So I'm not sure I can fully empathize with people who are coming off these sort of real, troubling problems. But I know for that, you know, 6 month period, I was incredibly stressed and incredibly anxious, and it plays with you physically as well.
Yeah, it does.
Like your stomach, it's like your stomach never settles. How real that was. I guess I've got to determine that for myself, because again, it was all self-inflicted, and I could have easily. Well, it wasn't that easy to get rid of it. I think everyone knows that. But yeah, it's sort of hard to explain. But I knew that there was a light at the end of the tunnel. You keep pressing forward. I had my parents' support, and my brother even was a big help. Obviously, the girlfriend as well. But there's always close-knit family. Your parents always want the best for you. You've got your friends that you can talk to. There's people, even just strangers strangers in air quotes again, on the other side of a therapist's couch or whatever it is, you know.
Yeah, you make a. I think the point there, Nick, is that there's light at the end of the tunnel, and no matter how low it is, that was, and it's really hard to see that when you're in that moment, and having been through it, having thought the easier option has been to take your own life, and knowing that if you get past those mini moments, know that it's fleeting, you know. That in terms of fleeting, it's not going to last. The lowest of low moments aren't going to last, but neither are the highest of highs. Maintaining that sort of, and being comfortable with that, you know, uncertainty, so to speak, is important. And being able to go, look, each day is going to be new. Each day, each moment's going to be new. And I'm comfortable with that. Just know and ride the waves, because the waves will keep going and you're going to keep on riding them and you're going to be okay. And thanks, guys, for listening, because I think this was an important discussion to have. You know, a lot of our listeners are probably male, female, and maybe even experienced this. And if you haven't, well, then now you have a first-hand experience of a few guys that have. And it's about opening that conversation and just knowing and being able to empathize, as Nick made a point of. So we appreciate you listening to all the podcasts, but this especially.
All right, beautiful stuff there. Another killer episode of Just Ball Things. So that just about does it for another week. We'd just like to say thank you to all of you for tuning in to Just Ball Things. You can catch us every Monday at, I guess this will be now Tuesday or Monday, at 2 p.m. Eastern on Nothing But Net Dash Radio channel. As always, you can catch us on Apple Podcasts, Blog Talk Radio, or wherever it is you listen to your podcasts. Do us a solid, leave us a rating and review on there. Helps us out heaps. You can get in contact with us at the JManJBT is Jack, and at JBT Nick is myself on Twitter. You should also hit up at OTG Basketball, so Off the Glass Basketball, where you can read some awesome NBA articles written by the J-Man himself, and they've got a lot of other fire authors, I guess, journalists on their panel. So they've got a nice podcasting network as well. So it's all good things on Off the Glass. We've got Facebook, so just search Just Ball Things and you'll find us there. You can hit us up on email like the good Fahad has, and we'll read them on the show. We'll debate them. JBTpodcast@gmail.com. So remember, it's you guys that make this show great. So we appreciate any message, every email, every tweet that heads our way. So until next week,
keep balling, superstars.